Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast, episode 99.
Whoa, wait a second.
100, Pastor Dan.
99 podcasts? 90,
and weeks in a row as well. Look at us.
You
consistent.
Know, that's, we've said this. Commitment without consistency.
Come on.
Isn't worth anything. So I guess we committed to this and
we did.
We're doing it.
And we're keeping it up. And it's not always been easy. We've had to schedule, we've had to record ahead, we've had to work through holidays.
Yeah.
Illnesses.
I mean, that means like almost 2 years too of going on this.
Coming up on 2 years.
The 99 weeks is getting close to that. So 100 episodes and 2 years in.
Yeah.
What a ride, man. It's been fun.
Oh, very fun. I want to encourage some feedback from the viewers and listeners.
Yeah.
I'd be curious if you're a day one person, you've been here from the beginning or
ooh,
at least when you started coming in. That'd be
great to hear that. Yeah. How long have you been riding with us?
And then as we approach, we're working on some special things for episode 100. So as we iron those things out, we will definitely make those announcements. But we're just so grateful.
Yeah.
We're grateful for you guys. I know that it's been fun conversations.
Very fun. And I'd love to hear some of your highlights too. How did God speak to you? Mm-hmm. What did God do from the podcast? You know, we do get a lot of great feedback at the doors that people are enjoying it. But like, you know, did you have a God moment? I'd love to hear about that. Maybe your prayers were answered or, you were asking God about something and it got answered here on the podcast. Those types of things. And then what are the fun moments? What made you laugh? What made you cry?
Yeah.
You know, like I'd love to hear those highlights and those moments and things that you enjoyed because that refreshes us as well.
Definitely.
And we would love to maybe review some of those things and, look back on 99 episodes. Wow. Including this one.
99 for the one.
Ooh, wow. Profound.
Including this one. Yes, this is number 99.
Yeah.
Pastor Dan, as we kind of, again, we're coming off of the beginning of February here, that means the fast is over.
Done.
And so breaking a fast has been unique for me. There's been times I've done Daniel fast where breaking the fast, you're supposed to come off certain ways, and I've done different fasts where, you know, you can kind of jump off and on differently. But I think a big question is what are some things for you, what are some coming off of fast type of foods and meals that you
uniquely this time around I did I know you're not supposed to let the people know when you're fasting, that sort of thing, but for example,
but you washed your face, you kept yourself
I wasn't like crawling into the pulpit or anything this time. This time around I did do a cleanse to start my fast, which was great. It was a 3-day cleanse, all juice. And I did that with some wisdom because it had a process and it was like a kit that you would do per day that included what you needed for the day. Your
minerals,
greens,
nutrients and all that. Okay.
All the vitamins and minerals. I didn't have to take a multi. It had everything that I needed in there as well. It had the protein shakes that I needed in there.
Great.
And, I did that spread out and with wisdom and made sure that even my activity was less during that time. You know, I didn't really work out as hard because I knew my body needed the nutrients and needed what I was putting into it. I still did movement and activity and exercise and things like that, but just not where I normally would have. And then coming off of that, I did 10 days of just fruits and veggies, you know, completely vegetarian. I didn't even do eggs, which frustrated my wife. Because she'd be like, honey, you're doing vegetarian? I'll make you some eggs. I'm like, no. And so I stayed.
So more closer to vegan then?
Kind of close. I still did cheese,
okay,
you know, and things like that. But I just didn't. We got to do cheese. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But no, so I didn't do any of the like eggs or meats or any of that kind of stuff. No fish. Getting protein was different. I'll tell you, I felt really good though this time around. And when I've done this in previous years, I didn't do the cleanse and I just went into it like a 10-day fruits and veggies and that sort of a thing, and I'd be angry. And I think my body needed to detox, and that was part of that process. So the 3 days I think helped in that. But then coming off of that, reintroducing things, you know, you got to do it slowly. And so, you know, I started with the lighter meats, you know, fish and chicken and that sort of. I didn't start with red meat.
Right.
I'm back to that now.
Went straight to a double-double.
Had a hamburger last night, you know. I didn't start with that, you know. Obviously, eased my way in, reintroduced things on a slow level, had eggs, you know, things like that. Much to my wife's delight.
Are you over medium, over easy, scrambled?
I'm a scrambled guy.
Okay.
Yeah, very scrambled. So,
nice.
You know, kind of like
are
my brain.
Are you a whip it up first or scramble it in the skillet?
Oh, I whip it
Okay.
Yeah. Until it's light white.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost ridiculous. I know, like, there's, I've heard like chefs say, just a light whipping. You don't need to over. I overdo it. You know, I want it that way, and then I want them dry. I don't want them wet.
Okay. That, okay. All the way cooked through.
Yeah, man. Yeah. If I wanted powdered eggs, I'd go to a buffet. You know, like, come on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I want them for. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's my upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I find that I was raised on over easy, and I stick to.
That's you.
Well, I ask for over medium at
places.
That's
my son. Yeah, my wife.
Because
they like that.
They'll usually come over easy. You say over easy, oftentimes they're runny.
So reintroducing those things slowly, and then eventually, I finally reintroduced some of the sugars because I wasn't doing, you know, cakes and cookies and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, we finally bought ice cream.
Right.
You know, and so I had some and. But I think it's wisdom to reintroduce those things slowly over time and not overdo it your first time back, you know. I had a friend did a 40-day fast, did it, you know, the way that you're supposed to. But coming off of it, they went and had, like, some food that high salt content.
Mm.
And because of that, the water and everything, their stomach blew up. And they were just miserable.
Yeah.
Sitting in an ER.
All right. You're supposed to come off of those, you...
It's even
use broths and it's like slow. Yeah. It's like a slow.
It's an even slower process. Yeah. Yeah. So, my wife did a 40-day juice fast. Mm-hmm. She did that. She'd have a handful of like mixed nuts or, a scoop of hummus.
Mm-hmm.
She'd eat a half an avocado to get the good trans fats and things like that. So she did what she needed to do. But coming off of that, she still juiced a couple times a day and then would have a light meal, you know, just to kind of reintroduce things. So, that's where, for those that are just starting fasting, you know, maybe you did a day and then you went right back to your regular diet. If you're going to expand that, you just need to think it through. There's some great materials online, great books that have been written about it from Christian authors, that I would encourage, you know, maybe finding somebody that's reputable and looking through that, reading through their materials. If you're thinking about a longer fast or if you feel like God is calling you to do that, do it with wisdom, do it with faith. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we always step out in faith, but as well, do it in wisdom. You know, you really got to have a word from God to do like an Esther fast where she's like, no food or drink for 3 days. You know, that's harmful to your body because you can't survive that long without water.
Yeah.
So it better be extreme. And, you know, if you start seeing any warning signs, I would say, hey, use wisdom, and drink water and reintroduce fluids, things like that. You know, don't hurt yourself.
Right.
I don't think God wants us to do that. And as you go into it, you know, the Bible says, be careful that you don't speak hastily. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to do 40 days, 40 nights like Moses. Well, he was in the presence of God.
Yes.
That's why he ate no food and drank no water. We can't do that unless God's doing something supernatural.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't rashly vow something
that's
like
good.
A 3-day no water fast or a 40-day fast or anything like that. You know, even a 5-day, it's hard.
Yeah.
And so, hey, God, my goal is to do this.
Yeah.
And then if you find yourself weak, God, I'm not going to reach my goal. And you're clear before God, your conscience is clear that I didn't swear falsely.
Right.
My yes is yes, my no is no. But God, I told you up front, if I can't do this, I can't do this, right?
Well, you mentioned something, and I've heard someone else say something that really has helped me in fasting. And that one of it, the concept was to kind of name the fast. And in other words, when you name the fast, it's like, this is what I'm believing for in this time. And then you also talked about the time period, meaning where, like, so if I'm naming my fast, my children, and then, like you're saying, the time, maybe I'm not vowing to X amount of days as much as till I hear something. And we see that in scripture a lot too. I will not eat until.
Right.
Right. And so maybe our fast is, hey, I'm believing for this. I need a breakthrough in this area. I need a word in this area. I need a piece about this decision. And that way it's not so structured as I have to do 10 days.
Right.
Because maybe day 3, all of a sudden God deposits something in your heart, the answer to your prayer or the breakthrough that you've been believing for. And then you're like, okay, great. And so in other words, it's not – it for me, I like that because it takes off the religion aspect. Because I can very quickly – we've talked about this.
Yeah, get legalistic.
Switch on the religion aspect. And I was even talking about – for me, like – so now I told myself during this, oh, my gosh, I'm liking how I feel. I like all this – stuff of not eating sweets, of not eating these things. But now all of a sudden, as soon as I quote can, it becomes a lot more difficult to reject it because that religion part of me is not saying, well, this is unto the Lord. But one thing, last, as we talk about, this isn't our topic today, the fasting, but my observation is in sweets. I noticed because I'm a sweet tooth.
Yeah.
So I, you know,
donuts
was bringing back some sweets
and
nothing tasted. It all all the sweets was so artificial tasting. I tried ice cream. I was like, I took a couple bites. It tasted gross. I tried a cake.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? It just, it didn't, it was foreign, which shows me there's probably something about.
There is something good to that. So for instance, over the years, and this is not from fasting, this is just from getting a clue that I'm unhealthy. And if I have children, they need to be healthy growing up. My wife and I had that revelation. And so we started putting away a lot of the stuff that we would eat before and started changing our diet over time. And I can't eat things like, I'll tell you, one is the like the 7-Eleven slushies, you know? I can't have those things, man. The Icy's.
Oh, yeah. The dyes and all
I'll tell you, man, it tastes like poison. Like, I'm, it's actually repulsive to me. And when my kids have had one, Dad, you want to take a sip? And I'll take a sip. I'm like, that's horrible. How are we putting this in our bodies, you know? And so, yes, it's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
And it actually refines your taste. I've heard it said that it takes 2 weeks to change your taste buds or something like that. I forget what it is.
Yeah.
And then repetition of eating.
Right.
So if you know there's something healthy that you should be eating, you know, give yourself a couple weeks to cleanse your palate and then keep trying it, you know, several times. And after a while, you'll develop a taste for it. So, you know, I didn't used to like Brussels sprouts. I love them now.
Yeah. Well, I remember the first time I had them was with you at a, what's this steakhouse right here? I had them with a steak.
Was it Black
Angus? Oh, man, Black Angus. They were oven roasted with some salt. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Because in the movies growing up, eat your Brussels sprouts. No one wants them.
And when I grew up, they were slimy. Yeah. They were, you know, like they weren't firm.
So you prepared right.
This is different. Yeah. So, I mean, that does make a difference, too. But, you know, yeah, I think that's one of those things where ride that wave, man. Take the opportunity to say, hey, my tastes have changed. And what do I like? What don't I like? You know?
So good.
That's helped me out a lot, too, because there's certain things that I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's transition to our topic for today. I know that was, again, that even our intro, that was edifying because I know that it's practical information for us. But we are in the midst of a series I'm really enjoying. I'm hearing such great feedback. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit.
Ah, my friend, the Holy Spirit.
My friend, the Holy Spirit.
I love
Spirit.
It. I should have named it that, man. That would have been great, my friend, the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. That, you know, and maybe it's probably not too late to name the series, but my friend, the Holy Spirit. But I think the cool thing is, and what the topic is for our conversation is because for some reason, there's almost, you know, depending on the circles, maybe your origin of church origin or you know, church of that you grew up in, if you grew up in, if you're new to faith, if you're newer to these things, you might not know. But to some people, the Holy Spirit is kind of like the weird uncle that you don't let hang around.
Yeah.
You know, I know that's kind of a running joke in some circles, but we see it so much in Scripture. I was sharing with you off camera how, because I was raised in churches and families where the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost and maybe some of these supernatural manifestations and encounters were normal, none of these things sound abnormal to me.
Mm-hmm.
But there are church traditions and doctrines, I guess I would say, or processes of thought where, they don't say the Holy Spirit. I know I've visited a church where it was a familiar song, but for some reason I couldn't wrap my mind around it. Well, then I go back to listen, like, wait, they took out the name Holy Spirit of the song.
Wow.
Which to me, it probably speaks to some of that, right? Where we don't talk about the Holy Spirit. What is it? Father, Son, and Holy Bible?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So whereas we know it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are the persons. And even in our first sermon in the series was
the Holy Spirit?
And the Holy Spirit is God.
Yeah.
Which is, I love that, the kickoff, because that's the most important part. Because if we separate them, well, then maybe you could speak to that, some of the dangers or challenges.
Right.
Maybe you can even give us a little bit of backstory from your understanding of where the misnomers or debunk some challenges of the Holy Spirit.
You know, I think that, you know, first and foremost, my background, you know, I was raised up in conservative churches, if you will, that maybe would be more like what you're describing on the opposite end, you know, where for you it was normal, for me it wasn't normal.
Right.
And, you know, so at a young age, we were in, you know, Baptist churches, community churches, congregational. We were in, my friend, his father was a Presbyterian minister.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there. I went to a Lutheran school from the earliest time growing up. And so had some of the Lutheran tradition, which, you know, I've always likened. It's the closest thing you can get to being Catholic without being Catholic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because there a lot of the tradition and practices and different things and, you know, is still there. You know, so I had this background growing up and even, you know, evangelical free. And we would visit different churches and things like that. And so in that, all of those traditions, if you will, or in all those denominational understandings and their doctrines, you'll find that many of them believe in the Holy Spirit. Many, I mean, like I said, Lutheran, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All throughout, every ritual, every thing that you're doing, you know, the liturgy even, the call and response, you're going to have the Holy Spirit spoken of.
Yeah.
And so I, for me, it wasn't necessarily that he was omitted. He was there. He was spoken of, even taught on, and taught on, I would say this, properly. In the sense of that, you know, the Holy Spirit is the person of God, that he's, you know, the one who instructs us. He's the teacher. That he's present in the life of the believer today. He lives within us, that sort of a thing. Very well taught, right? And I think that's where Father, Son, and Holy Bible comes from, because the Spirit in many of these conservative circles is taught very well. And I will say that for my pastors and the leadership that I had, many of them, man, the Holy Spirit was just speaking to me about this or dealing with me on this, you know, that was language that was around, we were around. But when it, in how do I say this? When it came to the fruit of the Spirit, absolutely love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, right? We've got all nine fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit being in operation and production, those things were omitted, right? And so it almost wasn't a upfront omission. I had heard in some church services that, you know, the gifts died with the last apostle, which I disagree with. It nowhere in the Bible does it say that. You know, show me, you know what I mean, post it in the comment section, the verse where you get that the last apostle died and with him died the gifts. That's no longer for us today. My Bible says it's for you, for your children, and to those who are far off, right? And so it's speaking of generations, and this is the power of God within us, right? This is the Ephesians 3:20 and 21, according to the power that works within us. Well, that's the Holy Spirit working in us, right? And the power of God, the expressions, even charismatic churches get their name from charisma, which is grace, which these are gifts, graces that God gives us. How? By his Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, the charisma of the Holy Spirit is these things, right? And so we can see that these things are for today because God is for today.
Right. That's good.
Right?
That's good.
And so for me, you know, one of the things that I loved about The Rock when I came in the year 2000 and was, you know, kind of in between things and had been, you know, serving at a church, again, a Presbyterian church I was at and involved in. But the youth pastors there had started going to a Bible study from the Vineyard.
Oh, yeah.
And so they were getting lit up. Yeah, you know what I mean? It was just like they were having all these experiences.
Leave it to the youth pastors.
You know, leave it to those crazy youth pastors. But and they had come from, you know, a background being at Moody Bible Institute and that sort of a thing. And so here they were having these experiences and encounters. And again, I had some friends that I knew that were experiencing God in fresh ways and had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, up to that point, I had not, you know. And so coming into The Rock, coming into, again, the youth group, where at the time, Pastor Eddie Alguera was the youth pastor. Two-time world skate champion, Eddie Alguera, you know. Wonderful man of God that continues to serve the Lord and preach the gospel to this day. You know, he's the one that prayed for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We were doing a, I was part of a band, and we were doing the worship at the youth camp. And so they had everybody lining up who wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I went, you know, got prayed for, and, you know, had to work through my own process. I told my testimony about how I got one word, and I didn't know what was going on. And it took, you know, a couple months before I really entered into with understanding what that was. But it was a process for me to learn. Some things I had to unlearn. Right? From my experiences and some of my prejudices. But then growing into those things, and especially traveling on missions and getting a greater worldview, Christian worldview especially, seeing that there was more than just the American church and seeing the doctrines that were woven into the church through the centuries in other places, you know. And that's where you get things that in our traditions, maybe some would call Bapticostal, some would call fundamentalism. I mean, there's all these expressions, but even in our United States, there was charismatic Catholics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? People that held to the traditions, the liturgies, and yet were speaking in tongues and praying for people to get healed. And miracles were taking place, you know? So there's this weird... thing that
well, our nature is to box people in and do that.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit's not to be boxed.
No.
And I love how there can be room for that. You mentioned something. I just wanted to ask you about it because while you mentioned for you, it was outside of what you were taught. Now, were you taught, because some people just aren't taught fully. I would use the word fully.
Sure.
Like what we understand. But then there are people who are not just not taught, but they're taught adversely. Whereas in what we as maybe more Pentecostal charismatic expressions seems normal to us, they're taught that we are in error.
Right.
Were you more of the tradition of, and then why is that important to kind of understand?
So it was actually, for me, it was both. So when I say what I was taught, things that I was taught, as far as about God, what he could and couldn't do and that sort of a thing. So there were things that were there that I'd be taught that God could do anything and that the gifts were for today.
Yeah.
And that if that was what God wanted to do, he could definitely do that. But what I was taught in practice,
okay, that's good.
Was that, Lord, if it be your will, then heal this person, not to believe God for healing, right? And to pray the prayer of faith over them, you know? There were, I'm sure, in some of those churches, I don't know about all of them, but some of the churches that I was raised up in, that if you wanted to call for the elders and be anointed with oil, they absolutely would do that and pray for your healing, right? But by and large, what you heard was, Lord, if it be your will, then we ask that you heal them. And if not, Lord, let them die. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the implication, right? You know, they weren't praying those words specifically, but it almost seemed like, God, we're just at your mercy here, not praying a prayer like Jesus would declare or like the apostles, I would imagine, the apostle Paul or the things that we see, even Peter.
Yeah.
There was a guy named Aeneas. It's kind of a weird Greek name, but he said, the Lord Jesus heals you, right? He declared it.
Right.
And that was where in practice I didn't necessarily see those things in my traditional background. Now, I mentioned... I did hear from certain individuals that the gifts died with the last apostle, that they weren't for today.
Yeah.
And to me, that's erroneous teaching. That's an error.
Right.
Because nowhere in the Bible does it say that.
Yeah. And I do want to get this because I don't want it to be a us versus them and schools of thought, because I can see the dangers in the body when, it can cause disunity. And I think you've been saying this quite a bit lately, is some of these things we're still brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
And our expressions, while they're not all the same, it is important to have a full understanding that we love each other in the body and that, we're not against anyone, right? And I say that, and not in the sense of political correctness, because I say that for my own self, because I know I could either get self-righteous or I can get judgy in my own heart. And I don't want to do that because they love the Lord and they're headed for heaven, and we'll have this conversation in heaven. I'll just be in the tongue-talking section. Yeah.
And God will correct all of our theology when we get there, right?
You've made that same thing, and I know, but I feel like you've been honing in on that more as well, that these things, let's not divide over them, right? While they are important, I don't want to diminish the value of knowing the Holy Spirit in his full capacity. It's important.
Yeah.
And it affects our everyday life, but it's not so much so that we should divide or not. Hey, I don't do life with those guys because they think this way. And although, sometimes I feel like people take shots at us, calls charismatics.
Well, charismaniacs and the crazy Pentecostals, all that kind of stuff. That's where I do make a joke about, you probably heard me say this from the pulpit. Hey, if you want to stand, you can stand while we pray. Yeah. If you want to sit, you can stay seated. Yeah. I'm going to kneel on my knees before the Lord. And hey, if you want to roll in the aisles, today we'll let you. That's a joke because people think that Pentecostal and charismatic people, roll around. Mm-hmm. One of my friends one time said, hey, no flying this weekend. I was like, and that comes from a man of God back in the day was asked, hey, so what are you guys doing over there in your churches nowadays? And he's like, oh, we fly, and so it's kind of a funny thing. So my friend, hey, no flying this weekend, All right. We'll stay on the ground.
And we can poke fun of ourselves. We're not so pretentious.
I love it, But I think that's the joy and the beauty of the Holy Spirit, is that he doesn't oftentimes fit in our thinking. Mm-hmm. There's been things that God has asked me to do that are not spiritual gifts, but obedience things, right? That God has asked me to do that are between me and the Lord that I've done that I've thought, gosh, that seems so weird.
Yeah.
One of the things that I have shared, okay, and I'll give an example of this. I remember one time at a fast, at the end of the fast, you know, I remember we were singing a song, and I found myself with my arm up, and I was kind of making a motion almost like the fist pump, you know, like get your rock fist in the air and, you know, like that. And the song was not a rock fist song. You know what I mean? It wasn't like rock and roll and dun, dun, dun. It was a driving song at the end, you know, and so it was going with the beat. But at the same time, it wasn't like in that sense that I was, you know, proclaiming or declaring or any of that kind of stuff. And so I was like, what am I doing? You know, and I asked the Holy Spirit at that moment, what am I doing here? You know, why am I like this? And he said, I'm having you do that because you've been knocking on a door this whole fast.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to open it up to you.
Wow.
And it was like, whoa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that doesn't fit in any of my theology. It doesn't fit in the Bible. You don't oftentimes see those things other than there were times that the prophets maybe showed something physically in order to express something,
right?
That the Holy Spirit would show them that, hey, you're going to wrap this belt around your hands and your feet, and the man who owns this belt will be bound in Jerusalem, right? Yeah. There was physical images of things that were, you know, spiritual truths that were being expressed in those times. Yeah. And so that's just a small, probably weak example of what I'm talking about. But there are things that the Lord has had me do over time. Yeah. One time I was at a meeting, I think I said this, or maybe to our staff.
Yeah.
But I remember we were singing this song about the Holy Spirit, and literally I just bent in half. Mm-hmm. I was like just a 45-degree angle. Yeah. My feet were on the ground, but my waist, I was bent over, and I couldn't straighten out, you know? Again, this does not fit in my theology.
Right.
And I don't see this anywhere in the Bible that God bent people over half, you know, just like that, like a hinge. And I'm like, what is happening right now? And even Jess was next to me, and she's like, God, is he okay? You know, like, she's talking to the Holy Spirit, and God says, just leave him alone. I'm doing something right now. Told her that. Mm-hmm. And what God was doing was he was pouring out, and I could feel like, you know, again, this is in the spirit. It's not in my natural body, even though my natural body responded in some ways with, you know, probably the hair on the back of my neck standing up or whatever. Now, again, we say that the goosebumps are not the Holy Spirit,
right?
But it was, I could feel almost like there was an oil pouring over me and that God was anointing me for something in the future. Mm-hmm. Like there was a fresh oil coming over me, right? And I think when we talk in those terms, sometimes the conservative churches, they, because they don't have that experience and that expression, it can be confusing. And they say, well, I don't see that in the Bible. So how is what you're doing okay with God?
Yeah.
And that's where I think it's great that we're talking about the Holy Spirit doesn't fit in a box. Because if he's really God, is he bigger than our understanding? Is he bigger than our expressions? Is he okay with things that maybe don't line up with our thinking?
Yeah.
Because there's things in the Bible that don't line up with my thinking.
Right.
I was just, you know, I'm doing the year Bible, chronological Bible again. Right. I'm doing it in 6 months instead of a year. So I'm on a fast track. I was reading in Numbers, and there's a donkey talking to a prophet.
Right.
And God tells him, go ahead and go with the guys, but then he gets mad at him and tries to kill him. Yeah. Why? I don't get that. It doesn't line up with my thinking. God, why'd you tell him to go if you're not, don't want him to go?
Yeah.
And I understand God gives us over, but the language, sometimes it's hard to understand. And so that doesn't line up with my thinking.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Jesus, he didn't heal people the same way twice, it seems like. You know, one guy, he'd spit and make mud and put it on his eyes and tell him to go wash. Another guy, he'd speak and they'd be healed. I mean, like, what? One guy, he puts his hands on him and he, you know, spits. And then he says, can you see anything? And he gets a little bit of healing. I see people like trees walking around. Then he does it again. Wait, Jesus, you had to pray again?
Well, I can't help but wonder if that was all intentional, lest we try to make everything formulaic.
I think so.
Whether it's from the healing to, and we've had private conversations about this, because I come to you with a lot of my questions about this, because I like to poke holes in my, that's how I learn best. I poke holes in what I'm doing, in processes we have, because I figure if they hold water, then, you know, like, but if not, like, let's poke holes in them. That's,
yeah,
isn't
see
that
what's going on here?
Like, so, and we've talked about this, you know, even some of the prophetic things we see, you know, we see Jericho where they're told to march around seven times. He doesn't say that again.
No.
He doesn't say that to every city they conquer.
He says attack.
He doesn't, you know, and go in the axe head and, you know, we can look at miracle after miracle.
Yeah.
But yet I think we'd like to make things formulaic because it helps us in our box.
Sure.
And we can admit as proud, I'll speak for myself, a Pentecost, not a proud in a bad way, but hey, I have no problem being a Pentecostal or with charismatic expressions, right? That we can be funny sometimes. There can be some goofy things that people do, which kind of cause some of the things, right?
And the error. There is error. And I think we do need to address that. That there's not only ignorance, there is flat out either overemphasis or error, you know, when people are saying things and attaching them, especially, and I think this is where a lot of people get off, when they attach it to money. Or to control.
It's important to talk about,
You know what I mean? The shepherding movement was in error, where people were telling people, you have to marry this person, you have to buy this house, you're going to buy this car, you're going to do... That's wrong. Right. God never intended for shepherds to have that much control over people's lives. Run it past us, talk to us, let's have a conversation, we'll give you what we believe, we'll pray about it, we'll see what the Lord speaks.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to have that weight of your marriage and your family and your, you know, on my shoulders.
Right.
That's error, right? Yeah. And overemphasis. And we have seen where people have said, you know, I remember being in Bible college and one of the leaders of the school was showing some of the gimmicks that people were using to manipulate to get money. And he had this one, put this sock on your foot and march around your house seven times and at the seventh time shout, you know? Yeah, and it's like, well, wait, and then send this back to me with a $100 gift and God will give it to you 100-fold.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I hope God, in his grace, that if there was somebody that was manipulated to do that, that with a sincere heart for the Lord was believing God for their house, that God would reward them with a hundredfold return. And that's how gracious God is. Right. You know what I mean? Like, even in our foolishness, God still loves us.
Right. We don't have to have our theology perfect because he's the only...
Now, God will hold that minister accountable.
Of course. Yes.
But the sheep, right? The person that's just following and just believing God for something, you know? Yeah. And that's where I think that conservatism, I have no problem with someone saying, hey, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. No problem with that.
Yeah.
But again, like we just talked about, where's our heart in that?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I still love my brother? Can I correct in love? Can I rebuke in love? Speak the truth in love? And can I also see things that maybe if they're not error, but they're just not my expression or experience, that I can say, well, hey, I see that in the Bible. I respect that you're going to go into that expression, and I'm not going to divide over it because the Bible says, who are you to judge another man's servant? Yeah. To his master, he'll stand or he'll fall.
Well, as we close, Pastor Dan, actually, I just felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to bring up this specific topic because I'm thinking about the people who maybe are a part of our church, and that's why they know the podcast, or maybe come from a church theology or background that maybe more aligns with how we believe and our expressions. But nowadays, you don't have to go to a different church to hear other doctrines or philosophies. It's at your fingertips. Your algorithm knows you're a Christian, so it's putting a lot of stuff in front of you. So on one video clip, they might get us and people who maybe see the scripture as we do, but then their next video is going to be someone teaching against.
Sure.
So how might someone navigate through, wait, I was taught this, but now I'm seeing this. And the thing is, it all kind of clicks in some ways. Oh, that makes sense. Because everyone has their scriptures as to why. We have scriptures as why we believe what we believe. So how is someone, whether or not, is not to say someone's immature or new Christian, a well-seasoned, mature believer can be challenged and provoked to thought in a certain way. What would be your... If it's not caution, how would we navigate that well?
Yeah. Well, again, I think it goes back to what we were talking about the other day about being fully persuaded, fully convinced in your own mind.
Yes. Oh, that's good.
And that will govern what you're going to allow in. Mm-hmm. People need to get biblically literate.
Yes.
Read the Bible for yourself. Don't just let TikTok or Reels on Instagram or any of those things teach you your theology.
Yeah.
Right? Even me, right? I'm a pastor. I'm teaching systematically through the Bible. Right. And right now in Romans, I mean, there's been some rich doctrinal and theological content. I mean, we're right now in the middle of what I would call pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit, right? And the study of the Spirit. And so these are things that you would get in Bible college oftentimes, right? I'm teaching it in such a way that people don't realize what's going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But really, we're teaching systematic theology.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people need to understand that. And that's part of the reason why we attend one local church under a shepherd, a leader that we trust, who their life proves what they're preaching is, right?
That's good.
And that we can trust that we can follow them, right? And that's where with The Rock and over the decades now, you can see the stability of this place.
Right.
My daughter just preached the other night, and you heard her say, my parents are the same in the pulpit as they are at home,
right?
That's what you want in a leader.
Right.
Doesn't mean I'm the only leader like that. There's tons of great pastors out there, tons of great preachers and teachers out there. Find one that you trust, that you can sit under their teaching, a local church pastor, and submit yourself to their teaching and pay attention to their doctrine. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to agree with everything that they say, right? There might be things that you see in the Bible that you go, you know what? They're teaching it this way. I actually see it this way, and I can see from the scriptures, you know?
Yeah.
And it may be that there are people that are watching from other parts of the nation that say, hey, I don't have a great church like The Rock that teaches everything that lines up with my theology.
Right.
So find a church that you can submit to, a shepherd who loves the Lord, who's teaching the Bible. And there may be some things that you disagree with. Well, then, hey, eat the hay and spit out the sticks, right?
Yeah.
Or just say that's their view. But I'm not going to divide because of that. This is a great church and I can contribute. You know, I have a friend that moved from here. In fact, he was my boss when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Going to some very conservative churches and believes differently than they do. And yet, he's told his pastors, I'm here for you.
That's good.
I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve your vision. Come on, what do we want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's on board with
it. It's not just about
It's not about
me.
Who can do my thing, right?
Yeah.
It's not a consumeristic mindset.
Right.
It's a servant mindset.
Mm-hmm.
What can I give,
mm-hmm.
right? And so with this theology, you know, be fully persuaded on what you believe. And what are the gray areas? Well, the gifts, obviously, the Holy Spirit, the expressions, the fruit of the Spirit, I think everybody's in agreement with. It's the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Women in ministry, right? Do you believe in that or not?
Yeah.
Even speaking in tongues, is it for all? Is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Are they for today? Is it not for today? Election, right? That's one of those things. Are people chosen? Or do they have free will choice? That sort of thing. Once saved, always saved, right? That's another one of those big topics that people get into. And, you know, that's where I would say be fully convinced in your own mind. Where do I land?
So good.
And then, okay, with my church or my expression, am I growing in the things of God? Are they teaching the Bible? And then where those differences are, am I okay to sit under this and listen to this doctrine and know what I'm convinced of in the Bible and be okay still saying, hey, that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, if you go to a church, they're winning souls, they're discipling people, right?
Mm-hmm.
The good works are happening that God wants us to do, you know? There's ministry expressions that you and your family can be a part of, and then they teach something that you don't agree with, right? And it's like, okay, is that a deal breaker?
Yeah.
Now, there would be some things that I would say are deal breakers. The virgin birth.
Right.
The infallibility of the Word of God.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When someone says, no, that's not what the Bible says, what I say, I'm out, right? Immediately. There's some things that just, I'm going to be gone, right? God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune,
right?
There's some things that are just deal breakers. If someone says, well, the Holy Spirit is not God, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Or yeah, Jesus went to the cross, but you still have to do these other works to get saved. I'm out. Because those things are clear in the scriptures.
Yeah.
These other things that are gray areas, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I see it differently from the word,
right.
And my expression will be different, but I'm submitted and I'm here for you, Pastor. Right? I'm here for this ministry. I'm here for the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well,
those
and you personally, like you gave a couple of examples of things that you've experienced and encountered. If someone would have told you years back, this is part of the Holy Spirit, that might have been like, that's strange.
Weird,
that's
different.
And as you study the word more, you get bigger pictures and more download. And that's why we don't just stay to get tickled and comfortable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to be stretched and we're going to grow.
Yeah.
Right? We never have perfect doctrine. The Holy Spirit is constantly
growing
teaching
us,
showing us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love that, Pastor. Any closing thoughts?
Oh, man, stay tuned. For those of you that are attending The Rock, keep coming, man, because we're in this series about the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What's he like? And I think we're going to get into what's he do, and that's
come
where
on.
Some of this stuff is going to come out,
so
you
good.
Know, because of who he is and because of what he's like, his character, that's going to cause the expressions of the Holy Spirit to come out, just like us, right?
Yep.
Because I'm a pastor, because I'm a dad, there's things that I do. Because I'm a husband, there's things I do. Because I'm a Christian, there's things I do. And the same thing with the Holy Spirit. What does he do because of who he is and what he's like? And so if you're interested in that, stay with us. If you're not in the area, all that stuff is on our sermon, you know, podcast and YouTube and our app, that sort of a thing. It's all there online for free. But again, keep going to your church, listen to your pastor. And there may be things you disagree with me on. I still love you.
Yeah. Amen.
You know,
come
it's
on.
All good.
Love it. Well, thank you guys. Thanks, Pastor Dan. Until next time, we'll see you. Number 99, 100 coming up. Stay tuned.
Ooh, excited.